and welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nick Harris, and today I'm joined by
Brian Keller, Visual Studio Technical Evangelist.
And
Charles Sterling, Program Manager of Visual Studio.
Thanks for joining. So, mid-November we had a lot of big announcements, and we're here to talk about one specific one today. Could you give us a bit of detail on what that actually is, Brian?
Yeah, that's right, Nick. So we recently had the Visual Studio 2013 launch, mm-hmm. and as part of that we had several announcements, but probably the most significant is this thing called Visual Studio Online. Mm-hmm. Now, Visual Studio Online includes some new components, but it also includes some familiar ones as well. So for those people that have been using Team Foundation Service, that's now been rolled into Visual Studio Online. If you're not familiar with what that capability is, it's basically Team Foundation Server hosted mm-hmm. on top of the Windows Azure platform. Okay. As a service for you to get access to. So that provides me with my hosted source control. I can take advantage of either Git or centralized version control repositories. Okay. It includes work item support, so my bugs, my requirements, my test cases. It includes a hosted load testing service, so I can scale up and down my load tests as necessary to test my application. And it also includes this new capability that we're launching in preview called Application Insights. And so that's what we're here to talk about today.
Okay, awesome. And I imagine you're going to be driving a demo of this today.
Absolutely. Can we walk them through what that is?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Okay, so Application Insights is a set of services that integrates the monitoring of a production system back in the development experience.
Okay.
So what does that mean? I'm going to go out and take a look at my website. It's been running for a couple months, and I actually see a problem that's happening maybe a month ago.
Okay.
And I can actually go out, click on it, opening up in Visual Studio, getting the exact same code that I wrote back then, be able to look at it, fix it, and actually integrate that back into my current efforts.
Right. So that's an important distinction there. So you're saying when you see that issue that's occurred mm-hmm. from a deployment that you may have made a month ago, and you've been working in a dev shop, so you're coding away, you're improving the product, you're checking in, but when you go and see that issue on your deployed version, that deployed code base may be 3-4 weeks old.
That's right.
And you're saying when I click on an issue, mm-hmm. it's going to take you back to the code that was actually used or that is running on prod right now.
That's correct. And that's just one of the services. It turns out we have a couple others. Okay. The other one is looking at the availability of that application from all around the world. So
okay.
we have 18 different locations. And I can go out and say, I want to know, is my application available from Moscow or from Amsterdam?
Okay.
I helped actually go out and implement that for the Visual Studio launch website, and okay. I was able to tell them before they even knew they had a problem that, hey, you were slow from Moscow right now.
Wow.
And sure enough, they'd actually dropped one of the servers in that location.
Okay.
So again, that's the second service, is actually looking at the availability, and I'll show you these. The last one is actually taking a look at what is your customer doing as they are looking at your application.
Okay.
What pages, where are they coming from, what browsers, what operating systems.
Right.
And we'll walk through that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we should also set expectations that we're talking about and showing a website today, but you could also use this for other applications as well, right?
Yeah, we've got already support for Windows Phone, and when I talked
Excellent.
About the availability, anything that I can actually connect to from a web test is something that I can monitor. So anything basically that is exposed to
Azure mobile services, for example, near and dear to your heart.
Yes,
so let's actually take a look at this. What you see here is Chuck's actually in Visual Studio Online. So if you don't already have an account, you can go to visualstudio.com and sign up for an account. You'll get your hosted projects and source control and so on. And what you'll also see is this brand new big blue box, right?
Okay.
And the first experience that we're going to see when we click on this brand new big blue box is a dashboard.
All right.
Now, when you first come in, you don't have any applications. I've gone ahead and added an application. But this is the default dashboard.
All
I didn't have to do any heavy lifting whatsoever. I went in and did file new dashboard. Actually, just hit the plus sign in this case. Now, we talked about those three different services. I think one of the most exciting is actually the availability. You can see that this particular application is only looking at like 89.8. What's going on? Why are we only looking at
89.8? We can do better than that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the blue dots you see right off the bat, the first thing that your attention is called to, that's where we've checked in.
Okay.
And more than likely, the ones right before the big red lines, which means that we're not available, are probably where I've done a check-in.
Okay.
Most likely.
<yeah. laughs> Sometimes that's sort of like my check-ins normally as well.
Yeah, and then you could probably see right here, is where someone's gone out and fixed it, and that's probably where Brian has gone out and undone what I checked in.
Okay.
And we can actually start drilling into these particular synthetic transactions or these availability tests, depending on how you want to call them.
And before we dive into the availability, the important thing about these release markers is that you can actually link that back and understand that this was linked to a particular change set that came off of TFS, and this was deployed by Chuck or Brian or whoever, and really get all that information. Because our philosophy all along with Team Foundation Server has always been, we want to connect and give you this full end-to-end traceability across all those artifacts, across all the different stages of your life cycle, across all the different people that make up your teams, and start to give you those insights, if I can borrow the word, into how your applications are built and how to make them better.
Okay.
Now, in this case, these were actually real production problems, and you see I've highlighted one of those deployment markers that Brian was talking about. I can also actually take a look at one of these tests that was very, very slow, and actually go ahead and click on it. And what you'll see here is this was a simple URI. I was looking at is an endpoint. What I could have also done, you know, the fact that it says download Visual Studio web test at the top, I could have actually had this to be a web test. So reusing the assets that I use in my web tests and my load tests, and bringing those in as an availability test from around the world. Very powerful.
And so for people that haven't worked with web performance tests within Visual Studio, basically what that is a series of HTTP requests and responses. Right. And so you can record a series of these for your application
based on clicking around your website.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to open up Fiddler, and they can export web performance tests as well.
Wow.
And so you record these series of tests, and of course you can use them in dev and test, and you can create them into load test as well that says what happens when 10,000 users hit my website.
Okay.
But then what you're seeing is reusing those artifacts, and as Chuck said, uploading those to Application Insights, and we run those from around the world in these points of presence for you. So like you said, you could find out that, hey, users in Singapore are no longer able to access your website, or the website's going really slow for them, and you can drill in and understand that issue before they even tell you about it.
Okay.
And in the view that I've got here, this is actually one of our QA environments. The big purple line where it says that we are much, much slower, that's exactly what I've done. I went ahead and used a cloud-based load test, and I threw, I think it was 10,000 people up against it for, I don't know, like an hour.
Okay.
And how did we perform? And you'll see from all the red dots, it wasn't all that good.
Right.
So we obviously, for my own application, we need to start looking at, you know, how to make it better, which actually brings us to that second service. What was slow? What were my dependencies? What was my system doing? Where were the actually that hit taking? So this graph has, or this page has a ton of information.
Yeah.
It's probably worth going out and taking a look and what do you see that draws your eye?
Well, I can see that you've got down the right-hand side a sort of key performance indicators that, you know, as a developer of a website, I like to know in terms of what's the CPU, how many exceptions are there. Very important. That's why it's bubbled to the top, I guess. What's the network I/O, and what are the components of my application? So, for instance, I've got a website. My website may be calling external dependencies, a web API, a SQL DB. So they're things that I'm interested in, you know, from the perspective of I'm a dev, I'm deploying a site, and I want these analytics or insights back from it.
That's exactly right. And you can see that I'm actually calling two different databases.
Right.
You can see that the one that's in blue is actually not taking any time ever.
Okay.
So it is not an impact here.
Yep.
If I had four or five or even other external dependency calls, it'd actually see those stacked.
Okay.
So instead of just a purple bar, I would see purple, blue, green for my different dependencies.
Okay.
And you can also see that the application, for the most part, the pages are actually pretty fast. We just have a couple ones that are really hurting, that are dragging the performance down all the way through. And scrolling down to the bottom of this page, I can then go out and see what were my slowest of those particular calls.
Okay.
The other really great thing about this, if you can go back up and show the drop-down for the environments, is that you can use Application Insights for monitoring not just your production environments, but also your dev, your test, your QA, your staging. And so you can really get the same analytics and monitoring experience for those environments that you're going to get once it really matters, once your code's running in production. And so in this case, because this is the QA environment, you can see some clear points in time where Chuck's team was running some load tests, which generated a lot of load, and then you can drill in to understand why were those tests slow. And so that's what he's going to show you next.
And you can see that my dependencies were quite different as far as an overall impact to the system from prod versus QA. So what that tells me is that either the stored procedures are different, the box is different, something is fundamentally different, which actually, again, is a quick key to where to start looking for some of these problems. Now, like I pointed out before, I can go out and take a look at the slowest request by issue.
Okay.
And that's going to take me into basically a view of this where I can actually go out and say, how long back do I want to look? Or am I very coarse grained? And I can start going out and saying, you know, I really only want to look at that duration while I was running the load test.
So what have we got here below that? So we've slid the window to focus or focus in on, you know, that point in time that is of interest to us. And then down here in the tabular sort of tree view, we've got calls to, you know,
they're
the
not
page,
just calls, they're all kinds of different events.
Outbound calls.
So, we've got memory events, performance events, and exceptions right off the bat. And I can go out and for both performance and exceptions, open these up in Visual Studio as an IntelliTrace. Okay. And it will actually wire back to the change set that I built the code back to. We were talking about that 3 week ago sort of scenario.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and open up one of these. Okay, this was actually the code that I was working on.
Okay.
And I want to take a look at why we're taking 15 seconds on an average for these calls. Double clicking on it, once again, I'm going to get a web experience where I can start taking a look at the calls, the parameters, et cetera, in the web experience.
Okay.
Or, like we pointed out, I can open up this in Visual Studio.
This is very similar, by the way, to what's called hot paths. So if you've done profiling in Visual Studio in the past, and the hot path shows you this is the slowest node of my application, that's essentially what we're looking at here when you look at a performance event.
And in now in IntelliTrace, we've actually extended IntelliTrace for 2013, I get two different options. I can go out and take a look at the call itself. This is assuming I have that environment set up for debugging, right?
So this is a very important thing here. Just so people haven't missed it, you've clicked from the web view, and that's gone and opened up Visual Studio for you.
That is correct.
And it's that's a very powerful link to have.
Absolutely. And it's opened up that IntelliTrace or that iTrace file. Brian's done a couple webcasts on that, and I can now go out and again I can drill directly into it. And again, this is assuming that I have all those symbols for the machine. Now, in the real world, I have the symbols for the current environment, what we're currently building on.
Like
3 weeks ago, I would have to go back to a symbol server and pull those back out of archive. Sometimes we have those, and sometimes we don't. But what we've also added is the ability to go out and say, I want to open up that solution. And if you look at this dialog box, it's going to go out and say that this was actually change set 132.
Okay.
I know for a fact last night I checked in and change set 148.
Okay.
So this is whatever the math is. Help me out, Brian. 26 change sets back at this point. And it's going to go out and open up that solution file itself. And of course, when I open up the solution, it's going to give me all the source code files that I need.
Yep.
And I can go out and take a look at the IntelliTrace information to get the call information and the files it was running in.
Excellent. So it's basically pulling down the version of your solution as it was when it was deployed to the server.
Exactly right.
Which is generating these reports for us.
And I can do this from almost, well, any machine that actually has access to the repro.
Excellent. Cool.
So that's two of the services. Yep. Which one are we missing?
Usage.
There you go. So again, let's recap what usage is. As people are using this, in this case, it's a website or a mobile application. I want to know what pages. I want to know where they're spending their time. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what their experience is.
Mm-hmm.
So one is an outside view looking in. One is an inside view of it, and this one is actually from the customer seat.
Okay.
So if I go ahead and go back into the application insights portal, you'll see that I actually have a tab called usage. And we could have gone back to the dashboard because I had lots of different graphs that were automatically added. And in this case, I show no usage for QA.
Right.
What that means is that there's a line of JavaScript I haven't added to this application.
Or your QA testers are not doing very much.
I would expect I would still see something if I had it. Just a heartbeat of running the application is going to say I loaded.
Yes.
So, and I would show you what browser, what environment.
Okay.
So what I'm done is I've gone ahead and loaded the prod environment, and I think I'm seeing a refresh problem there. Let's just take a look and look at some of these. Oh, I know what happened here. When I actually implemented usage, I have two applications, one spelled V-I-S-I-T-O-R-S, and one without the I. So I should have gone in from the dashboard and not walk through this. And
that looks better.
This looks a lot better. So again, I get page views, I get events. Oh, events are interesting. This is an important one for developers. I have not implemented events, but it's still worth talking about. So if I have a series of buttons inside of my application and I actually want to push out custom data, this events is where it'd show up.
That's right. And let's distinguish between that, because there's a certain amount of analytics and usage data that you get for free just by turning on monitoring. And I don't know if you have this here, but if you can show things like the browser type the customer is using.
Absolutely. That's under environment. Yes.
Okay. So let's take a look at that. These are all counters, if I'm not mistaken, Chuck, that you get for free out of the box. You don't have to write any code for that.
I did no code. All I did was I inserted one line of JavaScript.
Okay.
That's right.
That's
cool. But if you want to go one step further to say, how many of my customers are actually using this feature on their Windows phone, that's where you can download our SDK. You can instrument your app further, publish that to the store, and that's where you can start to get that really detailed usage information. Okay. Because the next time Chuck asks me to make a change to this particular feature, and I look at that and say, Chuck, no one's actually used this feature in the last 9 months, I'm going to push back on that, right? That, and we're going to make smarter business decisions.
That's extremely valuable, smarter business decisions. That's what I was looking for.
Yes, exactly. That's a new tagline.
I mean, this is my favorite service because of that. Yeah. I'm on the feedback side of the house, and going out and looking at how you guys are using our products is really important. And before, we were actually having to do it in fairly difficult ways, like surveys, when we're asking people. And this is actually goes out, and I can now immediately go out. Brian asked for the browser. And you can see for this particular site, looks like I've got a lot of Chrome usage. I don't know if that's what I would have expected, but it is. If I want to go out and take a look at the global distribution, you can see that most of them are coming in from North America.
Okay.
Not surprising there. Yep. And I've actually drilled into this, and my biggest city is Mountain View, California, for this particular application that people are coming to. Don't know why.
Can we drill in just to see the drill-in functionality?
Let's see if that's working. I've got my own custom environment, so let's take a look at this. So I can definitely look in at different countries within the North America, and we definitely had it working for city, and let's see if it's going to come back and show us states. It will definitely at release. Okay. I know the team's been playing with it, so we're going to wait for this for a little bit, and it may actually not come back.
Okay.
But yeah, I would fully expect to go out and see that California was the top one, expanding out California, looking at the different cities.
Okay.
So going out and taking a look at referral sources is another one that I actually look at a lot.
Okay.
How am I getting my traffic? Am I an endpoint, or are people actually finding me from a search engine?
Okay.
Once again, I am actually in this all the time. I've instrumented our blogs, I've instrumented a bunch of our web pages, and I can tell which accounts that have had access to application insights, who's logging in the most times, and what feature areas are they looking at.
Okay,
and
excellent.
I think the people I've been looking at would agree with me. They've actually been looking at usage and how it ties back to the development environment as one of their first stops and places where they spend the most time.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a great overview. Let's maybe talk just briefly about how people can get started, because if you sign up for a visualstudio.com account, and you start with the dashboard we saw, and you have that big blue box. We are in a limited preview today. So chances are, you click that box, you're not going to have immediate access, but you can request a code, and we've been onboarding people fairly quickly. After that, in order to actually go through the mechanics of enabling monitoring for your applications, Chuck's team's built a great set of videos that are also available on Channel 9. We'll link to those right below the show here. And that will take you through the experience of getting started, how to go through some of these other experiences we didn't have time to cover, and really just show you how to make the most of Application Insights.
Excellent.
Great point, Brian.
And you've pulled up something here on the screen as well that looks like it's important and useful for getting started.
Yeah, it's actually a wizard. It will ask you what kind of application and what kind of telemetry do you want to instrument your application for. And it'll actually have the Channel 9 videos linked right in the product.
Okay.
So we're integrating it back with Channel 9. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, no, I didn't know that
at
all.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. I do have one outstanding question, though, from what we've seen today. I really like what I'm seeing. I think from a developer perspective, this is awesome. I can certainly make use of it. And I love the fact that, you know, it's not just something that people using websites get. It's really cool that I can use this within an application as well. But the alerts piece of the dashboard, you know, when you're building solutions and you're deploying them to production, alerts are extremely important. So what functionality do we have with alerts? Is that sending me an email that something is not meeting one of my sort of performance metrics, or how's that work?
Yeah, I think Chuck's going to show you here.
Yeah, so actually when you go out and create a brand new synthetic transaction. In this case, I actually chose, again, a URI endpoint. It could have also been a web test. And I actually have, in this case, it's a very simplistic view. Mm-hmm. Alert me if it's failing more than so many times and send it to this email address.
Okay.
Now, the engine that we're written on top of is very sophisticated and very, very powerful. And we actually have an entire set of PowerShell commands where you can go out and instrument it yourself using all the telemetry that you've seen. So if you want to start anding, I only want to know if my availability is failing and my performance is above this and this, and start tying all those services
back. Build expressions.
Absolutely, Okay. And again, even though the UI doesn't have it, the capability was built in from the day one. The other thing I forgot to mention this whole video is that the agent that we're doing for the performance data collection, I mentioned the fact that usage is using JavaScript, but for performance, we're using an agent at that point, is the same agent the System Center uses. So if you guys are System Center users, you can actually leverage those machines that you've already got the agent wired up to and start bringing back development data for you and actually start making it easier for you to debug live site issues.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, sorry to throw that in at the end, but I really wanted to see what alerts was because, you know, if you're collecting this data, it's extremely valuable to be able to be alerted when something's going wrong.
Absolutely.
So that's another great part of the service by the looks of it. So this has been an awesome show. We've certainly seen a lot of things. We've seen, you know, availability, performance, and we've seen that link right back to Visual Studio, not just, you know, with IntelliTrace, but also pulling down the version of the code that's running in production that's causing this issue.
And my favorite usage.
Yep, and your favorite usage, and my favorite alerts.
That's right.
So,
Ryan, do you have a favorite?
I really like the fact that you get those release markers. I think that's probably my favorite because oftentimes you're as an operations person, I've been there and I'm like, why is this site giving me problems?
Yeah.
And then you realize it's Chuck pushed something to production he shouldn't have. So you remove his permissions and everything's good again. So
excellent. So yeah, do check out the links below. It'll help you get started and check out the Channel 9 videos, which Brian's done. We'll put links to, I guess, an entry point for those as well.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks for having us on CloudCover.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for joining.